Not long after the meditation retreat in which I questioned my advice not given, several of my patients, independently, asked if I would teach them to meditate. I was a bit taken aback by the synchronicity of it all. At least three people in rapid succession made the request. Each wanted to spend a fraction of their therapeutic hour in contemplation, and each wanted me to guide them through it. I was happy to comply, although I did wonder if they were trying to avoid telling me something. But I decided to take their requests at face value and give it my best. In offering them meditation instruction, however, I found that it was necessary to speak clearly about right view. Otherwise, it was too tempting for my patients to turn meditation into just another thing they were failing at. Meditation is deceptively simple. There's really nothing to do. We sit still and know we are sitting. The mind wanders off, and when we catch it wandering, we use it as a reminder to continue paying attention. Right view asks us to remember why we are attempting such a peculiar thing. Much of our lives is spent thinking about the future or ruminating about the past, but this dislocation from the present contributes to an ongoing estrangement and a resulting sense of unease. When we are busy trying to manage our lives, our focus on past and future removes us from all we really have, which is the here and now. The Buddha had the rather paradoxical insight that it is difficult to remain comfortably in the moment because we are afraid of uncertainty and change. The present is not static, after all. It is constantly in motion, and we can never be absolutely certain about what the next instant will bring. Past and future preoccupy us because we are trying to control things, while being in the present necessitates openness to the unexpected. Rather than resisting change by dwelling in the relative safety of our routine thoughts, as we tend to do in our regular lives, when meditating, we practice going with the flow. We surrender to impermanence when we meditate, wherever it may lead. If we are doing concentration meditation, we try to restrict the attention to a single object like the breath. When the mind wanders and we notice it wandering, we bring awareness back to the breath without berating ourselves. If we are doing mindfulness meditation, we try to be aware of things as they shift. When we are sitting, we know we are sitting, but when we are thinking, we are aware of that too. We might notice the sensations of the breath or the physical sensations of the body or the feelings of the mind or the act of thinking itself. The mind jumps around and we follow where it goes. Or we try. When it gets out of control, when we are lost in thought or caught up in emotion and unable to be mindfully aware, there is always an instant when we realize we are not paying attention. At that moment, we bring ourselves back to something simple, like the breath, and begin again. Over time, the mind becomes accustomed to this way of paying attention. It learns how to settle back and accommodate. Leaving itself alone, it nevertheless stays present with whatever is going on as it is changing. And a kind of clarity emerges. Like adjusting a radio dial, you know when the signal is right. The mind tunes into its own frequency and begins to resonate. For a long time, there's only distraction, but then suddenly, with no warning, it shifts and things come into focus. It's something like those Where's Waldo books we looked at with our children when they were young. Waldo, in his red and white striped shirt, Dr. Seuss hat and glasses, is camouflaged in densely illustrated crowds that are spread out across two big pages. At first, it's impossible to find him. There is simply too much going on. But gradually, one learns to relax one's gaze, and the figures begin to emerge. Out of all the cacophony, suddenly, there's Waldo. Like looking at the picture book, meditation can be focused or it can be relaxed. It is even capable of being both at the same time. The mind can be at one with itself, humming along, soft, clear, and deep, and also able to catch a sudden movement, a bird's wing in flight, an internal craving, the rustle of the wind, or the specific features of a character like Waldo. The mind is capable of so much. When we put it into a neutral gear, as happens in meditation, it does not shut down, it opens. It relaxes into itself while somehow maintaining its subjectivity, its critical ability, and its independence. Meditation is training in looking to the mind. Sometimes, inexplicably, it settles down quickly and makes meditation seem easy. But at other times, it refuses to cooperate and gives umpteen reasons why the whole effort seems ridiculous. We have to both trust and mistrust the mind, often at the same time. This takes practice.